So I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. I'm not going to this morning because I didn't have a lot of time to sit down and meditate and study the book of Galatians. And so I don't feel prepared in my mind to continue in Galatians. But I have a few thoughts that when you have time to meditate, they've come over the last couple months. They've come to my mind, and I would like to share them with you, if I may. I don't know necessarily where it's all going to go, this thought process, but I guess I want to say it this way: some might need to hear it, and some might need to learn to maintain it. Some might not necessarily understand it altogether now, but some will understand it later as they see it, if I can say it that way. Turning to 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, starting verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. I think we would all understand and realize that Satan is very actively working in Christianity today. Christianity that wants to be serious. A wife, a husband, a young individual that wants to be serious with God. Walking with God. Okay? They want to be. And so those are the individuals, I think we would all agree, those are the individuals he is attacking. He is attacking because he wants to disturb their walk. He wants to disturb their direction. He wants to disturb their testimony, their witness. Peter here, after writing, he's writing to a group of people that were saved, and they're facing conflict in their community, in their local community. They received some challenges, some persecutions and stuff like that. And so here's writing, and he's closing up his letter with these words here. He just said, likewise, ye younger. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another. So here you are, you have elders. You're supposed to, as young individuals, you're supposed to submit yourselves to the elder Christians in the community, to your local elder and so forth. But then he says, likewise, all of you submit yourselves one to another. There's supposed to be a submission. All of us have one for another. So even Mr. Simons is supposed to submit himself to the church. Brother Jake Dreger is supposed to submit himself to the church. Yet all of us are to submit ourselves to them. Because Jake carries the title of an elder, and Jake is our older brother in the church here. So we submit, just like with Ben there, we submit ourselves to them, but they are to submit themselves to us. It works both ways. You might ask the question, why? Why do they need to submit themselves? And why do I need to submit themselves? And he goes ahead and he tells, be clothed with humility. So that's all of us. Ben and Jake and Jake, those that are elder or have a position of an elder, they are to submit to us and we to them. And he says here, be clothed with humility. There's supposed to be a humility. Why a humility? Because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. God resisteth the proud. So if Brother Jake and Brother Ben and Brother Jake Simons cannot submit themselves to the church, that means they're proud. And if we cannot submit ourselves to them, that means we're proud. And in return, that means God is resisting whoever the proud person is. God's resisting them. He says here, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of, what's the humiliation he's talking about? What's the humbleness? That is you submitting yourself to your brother. That's the humility. Because see, God doesn't necessarily need to see your humility in an outward. He knows if you're humble in here. We know that God looks down and he's looking upon everyone's heart and mind, and he knows if you're humble or not. You know, you can kind of walk like this because that's your natural disposition, you know. Some might say, well, he kind of looks proud. You know, there's some people that have a little bit of a swagger with themselves. And you might say, he's proud and arrogant. But he might be actually the most humblest person in the room. You might have someone that's really a natural disposition of humbleness like this and always a little bowed and stuff like that. They actually might be the most proudest person in the church. But where pride comes out in areas of church life is when you cannot submit yourself to your fellow brother or to your fellow sister. When you cannot submit yourself to them, that's where pride is seen in church life. And if you are humble, you will be able. God knows you're going to be able to submit yourself in church life. There's a resistance. When people cannot submit, I'm not talking about yes sir. I'm not talking about that. Where you want to work together with your brother, and you'll do that with whatever you can. You want to work together with your sister, and you want nothing to come in between their relationship, and you see value in them, and you submit. It's like two brothers having an argument, that they can have an argument and reason together, but at the same time, they want that brother to prove them wrong. They want that because they want to walk in agreement with their brother. And that other brother is arguing back, and he wants that brother to prove him wrong. You might say, well, we're supposed to be confident. I know you're supposed to be. You can be confident, but you still want your brother to influence your life. Why do I say this? If you and I do not learn to build what I'm going to call conviction, we are destined to fail. What do you mean by conviction? Do I mean, let's button our top button up all the way, let's make sure we have a cape dress on, let's make sure we have... No, that's not the conviction I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that conviction. Christianity, when they think of conviction, they always seem to think of a head covering, of long sleeves. And I didn't wear long sleeves because of this morning. I'm peeling pretty bad, and it's cold outside. When you've been in 13 days in a tropical country, it's a little chilly. I'm talking about conviction for you and your brother, where you are going to have a conviction that I will always default to submitting to my brother. I'll always default to that. But there's a problem when you don't see your need of your brother. When you don't see your need of the sister. Most times... Now I'm going to put my foot in my mouth in this time, but I think I've got this one figured out. Problems start between individuals, either it's husband and wife, father and son, daughter and mother, brother to brother, sister to sister, when they do not see their need of each other. That's when struggles and problems come. That means you can't submit to one another. I have to submit myself to my wife to a degree. And my wife has to. But when we don't see our need of each other, then there's easy to have conflict. When I don't see my need of Brother Melvin, and when he says something to me, it causes often an irritation, especially if it goes against me. If he says something that is against me, and I don't see my need of him, then all of a sudden, I find an irritation. Building conviction that I need my brother, I need my sister, then you can go ahead and submit, even if it's against you. God has so designed it. And if you read the Bible from cover to cover, you can memorize the whole entire Bible if you want. But if you don't understand the language of the Bible, and this is the language of the Bible, you need God and you need each other. And how you show you need God is how you show that you need each other. God has so designed it from cover to cover. And you start reading in the New Testament, which it starts at Romans, and you finish it, you will always find out that Paul talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ, and then if I coin it this way, your need of each other, how to get along with each other, because you need each other. You are not sufficient. You are not complete in yourself. God has designed that a husband, that a man needs a woman. And that a woman needs a man. God has designed that. God has designed that you need a brother in your life. God has designed that you need a sister in your life. God has so designed that. We are needy people. Oh, many of us want to come across as independent. I am confident. No, you don't. That's very arrogant. That's pride. When you think that you don't need anyone, that's proud. You're a very proud person. First of all, you needed Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you that you could be saved. And you will not be saved if you cannot acknowledge that. You will not be saved. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. And if you think you're going to get to heaven by you being just living your own Christian life and you don't need anyone else around, that's also pride. God has designed it. And if you were to do a careful, you won't even have to do a careful reading of the Bible. You won't even have to do it. Start in Romans, read up to chapter 12, and all of a sudden Paul starts talking about how you can get along with your brother. You need one another. And then you go to Corinthians, and all of a sudden you find out in Corinthians that, hey, you need the teacher in the church. You need the evangelist in the church. You need the prophet in the church. You need them. You even need someone that has the gift of helps. Someone that has the gift of wisdom. You might say, well, I'm just going to go according to the Bible. There's actually a brother that has the gift of wisdom. Do you know that? The Bible says there's brothers that have gifts of wisdom. Why? Because not everyone has that. And so God says you need someone in your midst that has wisdom. And so He gives us individuals. We have wise women. It's interesting here, and I've shared this before. When you cannot receive the instructions that are given to you, you have a resentment in your heart. That's pride. That's a lack of submission. And so what you and I want to do in church life and in everyday life is learn to build conviction in our heart that I need the brothers. You might say, well, I need God and that's all. No, sorry. God didn't design it that way. I wish I could say it. I wish I could say all you need is Jesus and you'll be fine. That is a mystical thought that does not make sense according to the New Testament. Does not make sense. God, you might say, you mean Jesus is not enough? Jesus is enough, but Jesus in His enoughness has designed it that you need others. It's a design. If just like, can the woman not, rule the home? God never designed the woman to rule the home. See, there's a design. There's a natural design. It's like God asking the question, I won't go that way. Seeing our need of one another is going to stop a lot of difficulties. It's going to stop a lot of difficulties between husband and wife. I need my wife. If I was really want to be simple, I'd get all the men to repeat that. I need my wife. And I learned this from Michael Pearl. Some of you hate him and some of you like him, but that, I don't care. He taught a truth. He taught a truth that resounded in my heart. Without my wife, I am not complete. Adam was not complete without Eve. And I'm sorry to tell some of you women that are headstrong and very, I am sufficient. You need your husband. You need them, whether you think so or not. You need children, you need your parents. Whether you think that you got the whole world figured out, sorry. I pop, 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 pop all the bubbles. God has designed it that way. Young married couples, oh man, you got the whole world figured out. All your child training and all your baby rearing and all that. Oh, yeah. You don't need Sister Eva at all. You don't need her. Pop, 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 pop. Yes, you do. You need. But you know what? Sister Eva needs you too. She needs to see these moms that are wrapping their babies and cuddling their babies and just loving their babies. And she needs to be saying, oh, wow, I wish I could do that again. She needs to see that motherhood. My wife needs to see that. See, it's what you need of her. She also needs things of you. And just like Brother Jake, he needs to... if he's anything like me, and I think he did share, he was really blessed that he could be out there with the young men. He's out there. You young men don't understand, and you young ladies don't understand how you provoke us, often in many cases. And it drives us to, yes, let's keep going, let's keep going. But at the same time, you need the wisdom that the older ones have accumulated over years. They can say, don't do that. That's going to hurt really bad if you do that. It's a beautiful effect that God has done in our world today, and our in Christianity. If we saw this important truth, we as a church have no limits. There's no limits. We put Jesus at the forefront, and we all learn to walk together. This idea of segregation, I don't look at youth men as youth. I always feel like you put them in a little bit lower category. You're my brothers. You young men are my brothers. And I want to fight with you. And I want to fight alongside you. And I want you to fight for me. And I want to... that's how it ought to be. I tell you, we had Matthew Dyke on our crew. And Seth was on our crew. And, well, if they would have put Henry Wall on our crew... Let's say we replace Seth with Henry Wall. And let's say they gave us Dave Fair. We'll put Dave Fair in that. All the married guys. Oh, that would have been a pitiful sight.
Who wants to go on the roof?
Yeah. Oh, it was... I resorted to cutting studs. I thought to myself, I'll slide studs and cut it, but I don't want to climb the roof. But that wasn't the case. Had we not sat, the last house we did, we had to put a new roof on. Now, Peter, close your ears. It's not good for you to hear this. But what happened, what this house was, so they had taken 2x2 studs, 2 inches by 2 inches, put them apart 4 feet, and put a piece of dry plywood over top of it. Done. Okay, so there's no extra 2x2 studs. Well, what do we frame with? 2x4 studs, right? And that's how they had framed this whole entire house. And then the roof was made up, the plate was a 1x4. That was the plate. And then they had taken mango tree branches, about this thick. And they had tied them together, nailed them together somehow on top of a 1-inch, 1x4-inch rim board. I mean, ridge board. That's how they had... Now, if I'm going up there like that, guess where I'm landing? If Abe Hebert goes up there, guess where he's landing? So I was very, very thankful Seth and Matthew decided to go up there and start prying nails out. But underneath, we're trying to prop some of these things up so that it wouldn't sag so much. Okay? We needed them on this job. We did need them. But they couldn't do that plus cut for the rafters, plus drill the steel, plus put the plywood here. They couldn't do all that to get our job done in that one day. We had one. This was our last day. We're opening up a roof. and we got to close that roof. Okay? Rain, it was raining every day. Enough, it would have soaked her stuff. So we knew we got to open that roof and close it. Seth and Matthew could have not done it by themselves in one day. Couldn't have. Because you have to literally take the whole entire roof, if you can call it a rafter system, take it all off so you can actually go ahead and straighten things out and then put it back together. And they would have never gotten that done in 2 days. And so they needed us to help them to get it done. See what happens when we all work together. That's how it building conviction now in your, let's call it your young years that I need, and your older years. I need my brother. I need my sister. I need my husband. I need my wife. You build that with time. Many of us have grown up to be independent, and we act that way. You drop your independence when you said, I do, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you dropped your independence when you said, I do, to your husband or to your wife. You drop that. And for some of you, when you were born into the world, you dropped your independence to your parents. Had your parents not fed you when you were like a little baby, you wouldn't be here today. You had no choice but to be dependable or to depend. So I look through the scriptures, and you find Paul and Peter and James and John sharing certain things that can help you and I. And I'll just touch on a few. Like, one thing is honor all men. Peter talks about honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Yes, sometimes things don't go your way. The Bible says honor all men, not just people you click with, not just people you have chemistry, but honor all men. Love the brotherhood, meaning give yourself to everyone. Love the brotherhood, give yourself. Give yourself, the Bible says, give yourself to hospitality. Give yourself to it. I know sometimes we don't like that. We like our little independence. But God has said that some of these types of things we need to go out of our way. You give yourself, in Romans it says, give yourself to hospitality. And I'm not talking about Hebrews chapter 13 where it says, and treating strangers unawares. But no, you as a brother, as a sister, preparing your mind that you're going to give yourself. Yes? That means to come out of your box. Because if you're alone, if you're by yourself, it's easy for you to receive mixed messages. It's easy for you to interpret things wrong. When someone does something you're not familiar with. And you're like, oh, everyone, and Henry Wall taught me this when we were there, everyone makes a judgment. You might say, I'm the least judgmental person. No, you're probably the worst then. Everyone makes judgments every single day. Well, and you might not be vocal about it, okay? But you make judgments. And so you hear something about so-and-so, it's very easy for you to make a judgment. Well, you might just stay quiet. So, where is that in 1 Peter? Let me just find the Bible verse here, actually. I had it here. Yes. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So you receive something. You see, when you got saved, you received grace. You receive, the Bible actually goes as far as say, you've received love. How people pray, oh God, I want to love more. You've actually received it. By the coming of the Holy Ghost, Romans chapter 5 tells us. By the coming of the Holy Ghost, you receive that. Just like you receive grace. Now, as you receive it, minister that to others. To others. And the Bible is full of this. So you, as an individual, build your conviction. Conviction means is, as you put it into practice over and over, habitually, until it becomes a natural thing you do. Natural. Without grudging. So you call over a family and you sit down and you give yourself over to husband. It doesn't need to be 4 or 5 families. Not all of us have big homes like that. Right? And it it's not always just a work bee that you go ahead and love the brotherhood. You can do good outside of a work bee. No one needs to know that. But you build a conviction. Hey, I need that brother, and he needs me, and he right now, he could use this help. And you will give him help. That's how it works. And if you and I do this together, over and over, guess what? What's the natural cause? I'll tell you what the natural cause is. So here we were. Me and Jake we've worked in the past before, years ago with Eddie. Abe and I have never really worked together. Seth and I have. Never worked together with Matthew. Who else was in our crew? Is that it? But and Conrad. And we don't know Conrad from anything. So here we were. How do you now work this out? And to one degree, Conrad, I think, felt, because he's me and Abe and Jake, much older, old enough to be his dad. And so there was a little bit of an inferiority I felt he felt. But in no time, I think we did away with that because we subjected ourselves to him. That was, for me, it wasn't a big deal. He's the leader. And I think Jake had the same thing. Abe had the same thing. And so we just gave ourselves to that. And so we saw how this all worked was we saw, okay, this is what I can do, this is what I can do. And we just, if you would have watched us, it was, I think the second house already, it was like a well-oiled machine. Just working together. Just like this. Sometimes Abe wasn't there. He was out having lunch with Ben and doing some mechanics. But Ben was, by the way, you all got to meet Ben. You got to, like, Ben, what was his last name? Martin?
Martin.
Ah, what a guy. Like, I just, he was a wonderful, wonderful, huggable guy, you know. 29 years of age and just, I wish I could have been there with Abe. Like, Abe got the blessed opportunity to do mechanics. I've thought about praying to the Lord that maybe he'd give me the gift of mechanics. Because they got to go to rest, because Ben loves eating. So Ben's truck, I'll tell you a story. So Ben's truck broke down. Abe and Conrad went to go pick him up. And so we're at the last house we're doing. And I was bushed. And so I go and I took two cookies, extra cookies with peanut butter cookies. And they were made when we first got there. This is the second last day. And so I grabbed these peanut butter cookies and Ben's like, oh, so we got one for me? I said, yeah. He goes, how are they? I said, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure. I said, I'm just gonna. I need some food. And he grabs it and he eats it. I said, how was it, Ben? He says, oh, awful. He says, if I'm gonna get fat, I'm not wasting my time eating these calories. That's the type of person. And he was. We were guessing how much he weighed. And I had guessed conservative. I thought maybe 280. I didn't want to embarrass him too bad. Dave Fair guessed 290. And he laughed. And he said, Dave, you're the closest. And he said, oh, what are you, 295? No, I'm 320. But he's just a fun, fun person and spiritual man. He was very blessed. It was a tremendous blessing to be with him. But those young men needed us and we needed them to work together to make this possible, to make this roof go on without a hitch. And that's how it works. Seth wasn't there criticizing Jake Dreger because Jake Dreger was keeping himself busy with what he could contribute to the project. Seth wasn't criticizing Conrad, there was no criticism. We were just working together to accomplish a goal. And the Bible tells you and I, we are lights set on a hill. We're not lights under a bushel. And when the world sees one of the greatest testimonies, I've shared this before, one of the greatest testimonies in our community and in society is when they see brothers working together. When brothers and sisters are working like a harmonized machine, like a machine that's well oiled. And you will always play a resistant part if you do not see your need of one another. A marriage that is failing is because they do not see each other, their need of each other. A marriage will continue to thrive even amongst difficulties. You can be diametrically opposite and have lots of conflict, but when you see that I need her in my life. My wife and I are very, very opposite in every respect. Trust me. I see my need of my wife, and I'll always go back to the drawing board. Always. I'm not going to give up. Why? It's a conviction. That's why I'm using the word. It's a conviction. Church life will fail you. They'll step on your toes. They'll offend you. And then if you do not see your need of the church or of the brotherhood, what's going to happen? You're going to get offended and you're going to distance yourself. But when you see that there's value, that they're valuable to you, you're always going to go back. It's called a conviction. I cannot live without. We might say, I can't live without Jesus. Well, Jesus has so set it up that you can't live without your brother. That's the second biggest theme in the Bible. It is called church life. And you need to build that. If you haven't built it, you need to build that in your heart. You're not always going to agree. That's not what I'm saying. Oh, you know, we're going to go and hash out. No. You need to see the value of each other. Old or young. If we go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. There's a beautiful portion of scripture there that doesn't get a lot of attention. It gets attention, I think, maybe for the wrong reason sometimes, but I'll share it with you here anyways. Starting at verse 17 of chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding dark and alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. So you see a very independent mindset taking shape. That unconverted people are very independent. They're greedy. They're lascivious. They're full of lasciviousness. They have uncleanness in their life. And he says, but ye have not so learned Christ. Did Christ Jesus... Okay, I won't ask questions. I'll answer them. Christ Jesus put himself in a very vulnerable position. He came as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. He needed his mother to feed him. He needed his stepfather, you could say, to teach and to train him. He all through life, Jesus Christ needed people. He put himself as God. He subjected himself to humanity. It's a thought. It blows my mind away. When he could have gone like this, everything disappears. One word, done. But from a baby, he displayed his need. I heard, what was his name? It was maybe David Wilkerson. Years ago, I heard a sermon, he's dead now. He said, do you realize God needs fellowship with you? And he used it in the context of communion, of relationship. God needs it. God desires a relationship, a fellowship, a friendship with you. The God of heaven who sits there. And he can create any type of an individual just to sit there and bow down and worship without, I go like a robot. God can do that. But he has given you a free will to make a free will choice to fellowship with him, to worship him, to have a relationship, to communicate. He's given us that choice. He needs you. He wants you to do that. And you and I need to create that desire that we want fellowship one with another. And Paul and John says this, that these things I write unto you. Oh, let's just go back there. I'm going to go back to that portion of scripture. 1 John. I shared this at the last brothers meeting a little bit. So this is not new thoughts necessarily. That which we have seen from the beginning, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father. It's one thing to say that we have fellowship with God, but John writing the book of 1 John is that you can have fellowship with him. John is very particular. He wants you to be in agreement with him. And you and I, we need that. We need fellowship one with another. We need communion with one another. And Jesus Christ made himself vulnerable to that. The God of heaven, who could have came down from heaven and revealed himself. He could have done this mega super internet service where all the world could have seen him. God knew internet was going to exist. So God could have came down and said, "Hey, everyone, I'm here. Get down, worship me. That's what I want. That's what I desire." And you have no choice. And he could have gotten you willfully to go like this, you know? God could have got you to get on your knees. He could have crippled your knees. And he could have made things. He made a donkey to speak. Forcefully made a donkey to speak. You know, I think he can make us forcefully make us speak. But God has made himself to a place that he wants you willingly to give worship to him. Communion to him. Relationship. And it says here, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus." Often we, in the talk, he's talking in Ephesians here about the former conversation, the old man. We often take the old man into Christianity, which is a very independent, self-will and stubborn man. We take that into Christianity. But you have not learned that of Christ. You have not learned Christ. If you have been taught by Christ, you did not learn that Jesus Christ was self-will, independent, stubborn. Jesus Christ died that the church can live and be effective. Jesus Christ died that you can be his arms, his feet, his mouth, his eyes, his toes, his organs. Here on earth, Jesus Christ has done that. He is depending upon you to accomplish that. Yes, we've heard testimony of where all of a sudden someone mysteriously turns to the Lord and becomes... But as the Bible theme, Jesus Christ has died on the cross so he can have arms, legs, feet, mouth, eyes, ears, nose, organs that I can't even mention. I don't understand. You. He's depending upon you. And we need to depend on each other as a church, as individuals, as husband and wife. You show me a home where there's no husband in the home, I'll show you a home that is lopsided. Or where a mom is not in the home, I'll show you a home that's lopsided. I'll show me, give me a church that where everyone is doing their own thing, and I'll show you a church that's good, that's going to go astray. But when brothers and sisters depend on each other, all of a sudden, things start to click. Thing, but yes, brother, you've said this many times. I know I have. I'm asking you to build that conviction in your heart. Build it in your heart. Hide it. It's like a treasure. It's like Jesus Christ. That treasure where you don't want to lose Jesus Christ, and you harbor Jesus Christ in your heart. It's like finding a precious stone. Because trials will come and offenses will come. But when you see a need for your sister, your brother, you'll go back. They'll step on your toes and you'll see, you go back. And like I said, the Bible, if you read from Romans chapter 12, all the New Testament, you'll find instructions given how you can build these convictions. And I mentioned a few. Honor one another. Love the brotherhood. be hospitable. Give yourself to hospitality. And my encouragement to you is, like, and I'll be honest with you, it's not. We don't all the time just want to have people over. Like, it doesn't always. Sometimes I feel I do it grudgingly. And sometimes but I have come to a conclusion is, whether I feel like it or not, I need to. I need to. Because I need you. I need you to come over and sit down and we can have fellowship and communion and laugh and talk and stuff like that. I need that. Whether I feel like it or not, it's a conviction in my heart. You're not going to do that. You're not going to pry that away from me. I need that because it's built over years and years and years and years. It's like sometimes even some of our children have said, "It'd be nice just to be alone on Sunday." And then after Sunday is gone, you're kind of like, "Oh, it would have been nice to have people over." Like, it's something like you feel like there's an emptiness that you should have had someone. And I get it. Sometimes you need to de-stress. You need to just be with your family. I get it. But it's kind of like my brother Dave said about certain aspects of Christianity. There are certain things you can do. It's like an elastic. And let's say this is the point of Christianity. And the elastic stretches. There are certain things you can do, and then, but once the elastic is released, it always bounces back to its original place. So there's times and seasons where you have to do certain things. But the natural disposition of the Christian should always come back to that. I need you. I need you as an individual in my life. You have, like I said, what scripture can't I turn to? You have in Romans chapter 12, after Paul does a tremendous explanation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and how justification by faith works, he decides to go into verses like this. Here's one for you. Let love be without dissimulation. You know, sometimes we can go ahead and love someone, but we're hypocrites. Can you imagine that? Can you go ahead and, let's say, Brother Ben. We'll use Brother Ben for example. Work for you, splitting wood, Brother Ben's. Yeah, you know, it's the thing to do. It's the thing to do, and I'm going to go there, but I'm doing this grudgingly, and I'm, love you, Brother Ben. Oh, man, I got to do this here, you know. Got to keep up a performance in the church, you know. The Bible says, I'll use a negative. Don't come to Brother Ben's wood splitting. Don't do that. You know, if you're going to be a hypocrite, don't do that. Don't come to his wood splitting. That's not right. Repent in your heart and then go split wood. Okay? You know what? I'm going to feel too much like a hypocrite, so I'm not going to come. No, just repent in your heart. Repent. You're going to have to repent sooner or later. Right? You're going to have to repent. Because you don't want to be a hypocrite, right? We don't want to be hypocrites. Who wants to be a hypocrite? Raise a hand. No, raise a hand. So, repent in your heart, meaning, you know what? Brother Ben needs this. I need Brother Ben. I'm going to go there and help Brother Ben. And that's it. You don't need to have these birds flying saying, you love Brother Ben, you love Brother Ben. You don't need to have that. That's not what he's talking about. Jesus Christ didn't go on the cross saying, oh, this is so great. Oh. No, he sweated and he begged God, let this cup pass from me. It was hard on him, but the greatest act of love was done with no feelings. But I want to do this for humanity. The greatest act of love is when you can go look past your feelings and say, I'm going to do this for him. This is love. The greatest act of love in marriage is that when you get, oh, yes, all the women love it when the guys bring the roses. What an act of love, right? And flowers and chocolate. And the guys, you know, they come home, they got their steaks all made properly and mashed potatoes and the women are rubbing their feet. That's it. Is that the kind of love you're looking for? You're looking for the wrong thing. The greatest acts of love is when it's sacrificial. When it's sacrificial. You go there and you do it. But there's a conviction you build in your heart. There's many times I didn't want to go do it. And I'd rather just stay home and not do it. Many times. But no, I'm going to repent. Does it mean now I'm going to have butterflies all over my stomach? No. I'm still going to do it. It's me. I'm going to repent of my bitterness. I'm going to repent of my strife. I'm going to repent of my envy. I'm going to repent of that because I need that individual. See, that's how it works. When you see the need, you can repent. You can push it aside. So let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. I'm doing a good thing for Ben. Ben didn't say very nice words to me the other day. Well, that's negative thinking. So I say, no, you look at Brother Ben. He's such a blessing and all these other, I'm going to do it because Ben needs this for me to do this. And so I'm going to abhor that which is evil. I'm going to cleave to that which is good. This is where you're building conviction. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. But when you do this habitually, or when you consistently do it, it becomes an habitual practice. Well, I want to do it because of the sincerity of the heart. So, well, what, are you not going to do anything then? You should sit there, wait for... No. No. You have to build conviction in your heart. When you feel like it or not, you still do it. You still do it. The things you want to deal with is grudging, bitterness, envy, hypocrisy. You want to take those out of your heart. You should always want to take those out of your heart. But you shouldn't always wait for a feeling to come to do. That won't work. That won't work. Because maybe you're not like me. Maybe you always have good feelings. Maybe you do. I don't. I'm sorry. Maybe I'm immature. I don't always have good feelings. The last thing I wanted to do is go to work from 7 o'clock until 5 o'clock the last 2 weeks. Hard. Like, I'm sorry, some of you brothers... Sorry, John. You sit in your truck and do push pencils. I know what that feels like. I pushed a lot of pencils, and I realized that my body is not up to bar. Good thing Henry Wall's not here. Henry Wall, we weren't quite sure he's going to make it there a few times. So he looked so exhausted coming around. Oh, man. And it was good. It was good. But why did I do it? I wanted to be with Seth. I wanted to be with my son. I didn't feel like going. Heat. Yeah. Can you imagine? You start working at 8 o'clock, you're soaked with sweat. And at 5 o'clock, when you jump into the van, you're still soaked with sweat. And you're trying to wipe yourself, and it's all wet. And you're trying to take your sunglasses and clean them, and it's all smeared. And you're like, oh, man, really? And then sunburn, and I had my hat on. So my sunburn was here. And then my hat has this little latch here, right? My sunburn is here, right with the latch. You go to sleep with that. And then I'm laying there like this, and you turn this way. Oh, 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 everywhere. Who wants to do that? Anybody takers? I didn't. Physically, I didn't want to do it. You want the sun, but you don't want the burn. I'm sure you boys don't want the burns. But there's a reason we do it. Not like we feel like it. But if you build conviction, you can overcome those feelings of not wanting to. You can. It's like sharing the gospel. I remember when I first started, oh man, the church in Vienna at the time, they had this great idea. Great idea. We're going to go every Friday. We're going to go to the streets every Friday. All those brothers that can, we're going to go to Elmer. Everyone knows us in Elmer. Everyone. So they had these great ideas. I heard of Mrs. Blatz throwing this and trying to hit people with the doors. And stuff. I heard of it. Who wants to do that? But I knew it was good and profitable for me to go to share the gospel with people. So I did it anyways. I didn't think. Some things you don't have feelings for, but you got to give yourself regardless. And if I can instill this thing in this morning in your heart, you that young couples, older couples, young men, young ladies, seeing your need of each other. Not just your peers. Where's my peers? Hey, John, your peer. But of each other. Of peer to older. Younger couples to older couples. Seeing the need. All of a sudden, when Sister Eva comes and instructs you that, hey, it might be a better way to, I think you're not loving your husband the way the Bible tells you to love your husband, you won't find that irritation. Because I need Sister Eva. I need. Brother Jake comes and says, hey, brother, I think that's a wrong call to do when it comes to leading your home. You won't find that irritation so quickly. That little, we call it the narca button, you know, that narc scene bit, that narca button. What would be that in English? Irritation button? Yeah. I think we all have that. Some have learned to cover it a little bit more than others. I think we all have that. But if we see that we need Brother Jake, I need Brother Josh in my life, all of a sudden when he does decide to correct me, which you're my son-in-law, be gracious, that narca button doesn't press down so easy. Because I need Josh, right? I need him. And so read your scriptures that way. How can I build and maintain a relationship with people that I need in my life? What I need in my life. It's like the mom is going to make sure, I just saw Matthew and Naomi with the baby. That baby is completely dependent upon Matthew and Naomi. Completely dependent. That's how we are. We think we are self-sufficient in ourselves. We can conquer the world by ourselves. No, Jesus has so designed that he needs you, plural, to conquer the world for him. He needs that. Could God not do it? Could God not preach the gospel to the whole wide world, one shot in every language? Could he not? Could he not say, you know what? The church has failed me so much, forget it. I'm going to do this by myself. No, but year after year, century after century, decade after decade, God always puts himself into the hands of the people saying, can you preach my gospel? Can you tell the world about me? Because he has, you can almost say he has handcuffed himself to that position. He has. Because he wants not robots, he wants voluntary. People to volunteer doing, to worship, to speak out. I want the same thing. I don't put my children in handcuffs and a bunch of rules. I want them to be a part of the family willingly. After they stop depending upon me, I want them to freely give themselves to what we as a family are doing. Anyway, I'll leave that. I thought it was not going to be as long as that, but anyways. So build it. If I can instill that, build conviction in this conviction in your life. I think a lot of things will fall into place in marriage and in church life. And then we won't always look at things as oh, that's what the old people do. Or that's just what the young people do. I don't think we'll see it that way. I think we'll start to come a little bit closer in every aspect of life, in church life. If we have that view, I need each other. If you can do that, I want to continue doing that as build. Build and build. Anyways, let's stand to our feet. Father, you are gracious. Sometimes we don't quite understand why you do the things you do and how you've orchestrated things, but Lord, you know what is perfect and what is right. We pray, Father, that you'd instill in our hearts to love you and to love one another, to work together with one another, to appreciate one another, to see the value of one another. Give us grace, Lord, when people step on our toes to forgive, to forget, to move on. Give us understanding, Father, where we can be a blessing one to another in our relationships between husband and wife, between brothers and sisters. Lord, we will learn to build relationships that last, that Satan cannot penetrate and destroy. Thank you, Father, for your goodness. Amen.